I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Well, hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week at the Waterside Theatre in Aylesbury, the county town of Buckinghamshire. Aylesbury ducks still run wild here, but pensioners were recently threatened with prosecution for feeding them. "We like to toss them stale crusts and watch them squabble for it," said a nurse at their care home. In the 1820s, an Aylesbury man became Britain's first forensic scientist. It was Gresham Elliot who devised a system for the storage and cataloguing of stolen goods in what we now call the British Museum. With the arrival of mains gas in the streets of Aylesbury in 1834, the town boomed. In fact, they heard the explosion in Amersham. In the 1870s, Aylesbury was the home of the first Englishman to visit Lourdes. Reginald Chapman had never walked, but at the age of 47, the town bought him a rail ticket to Lourdes, where he was helped into the water and managed to get out of his wheelchair. The event was reported by the Buck's Evening Herald with the headline, "Aylesbury Man Drowns in France." Aylesbury is home to the British Association of Spiritualists, who recently came under consumer protection legislation requiring them to prove it really is possible to contact the dead. The Trading Standards Officer was amazed when they did actually get through to BT Broadband customer support. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Timber Taylor and David Mitchell. And getting ready to enjoy some action on the desk next to me, please welcome our lovely scorer, the delightful Samantha. Now, before we start, we must congratulate Tim and Graham for their OBEs. These were awarded to them for their services to the entertainment industry by not making the goodies since 1982. OK, our first round is all about movie titles. The teams are no strangers to the world of movies. Barry Cryer once auditioned for the role of Superman. At least that's how Barry explained in court why he took his trousers off in a phone box. Movie titles are all important, teams, but I'd like you please to suggest films which would have been very different if just one letter had gone missing from the title. Barry, you can start.
One with the Wind.
Tim.
When Harry Et Sally.
David.
Some Lick It Hot.
Graham.
Only angels have wigs. Pubic Enemy number one.
The Adventures of Robin Who?
The Pink Panther.
The Turd Man.
The Way We Wee.
Sleepless in Settle.
The Never-Ending Tory.
Ill Bill. Mutiny on the Bunty.
Zorba the Geek.
My Fair Lay.
Saturday Night and Sunday Moaning.
I was going to take the O out of the Count of Monte Cristo, but... Monte Cristo doesn't really mean anything.
Moving on, the teams are going to sing for us now in the round called One Song to the Tune of Another. Now, you'd have to be entirely ignorant of even the basic rules of music and comedy not to understand how this works. So, teams, this is how it works. A song is virtually exactly like a pair of curtains on your window. The curtains, or tune, can be pulled back to allow rays of light or words to flood in. And then the curtains are drawn across at night, or, to put it another way, the words are removed to be replaced by fresh light or new words the following morning. And there you have it, one song to the tune of another. Now, I know what you're thinking, teams. Shouldn't these curtains be lined? Well, yes, indeed, they should. But with what? Isn't there a danger your new linings might go out of fashion? So, teams, where do we go to find backing material that's always timeless? Wonder no more. At the piano, Colin Sell. OK, we'll start with you, Barry. I'd like you to sing the words of I've Got a Brand New Combine Harvester to the tune of the Rolling Stones' As Tears Go By.
I drove me tractor through your haystack last night. I threw me pitchfork at your dog to keep quiet. Now something's telling me that you're avoiding me. Come on now, darling, you've got something I need. 'Cause I got a brand new combine harvester. I'll give you the key, come on now. Let's get together in perfect harmony. I got 20 acres and you got 43.
Ah, Barry Cryer. It makes you want to have a whip round for Southern Cross, doesn't it? It's your turn now, Tim. I'd like you to sing the words of the Pheasant Plucker's song to the tune of the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
My husband is a keeper. He's a very busy man. I try to understand him and I help him all I can. But sometimes of an evening I feel a trifle dim, all alone and plucking pheasants when I'd rather pluck with him. I'm not the pheasant plucker. I'm the pheasant plucker's mate. And I'm only plucking pheasants 'cause the pheasant's plucker's late. Not good at a pheasant's kind of plucking, I get stuck. Though some pheasants find it pleasant, I'd much rather pluck a duck. Oh, but plucking geese is gorgeous, I can pluck a goose with ease. But plucking pheasants is sheer torture, for they haven't any grease. I'm not the pheasant plucker. He has gone out on the tiles. He only plucked one pheasant, and I'm sitting here with Pa.
Well, it's your turn now, David, and I'd like you to sing the words of Gordon is a moron to the tune of The Girl from Ipanema.
I've been going out with a girl, her name is Julie, but last night she said to me when we were watching telly, this is what she said. She said, listen, John, I love you, but there's this bloke I fancy. I don't want to two-time you, so it's the end for you and me. Who's this bloke? I asked her. Gordon, she replied. No. I said, dismayed. Yes, but he's no poof, she cried. Oh, she is cruel and heartless. To pack me for Gordon just cause he's better looking than me, just cause he's cool and trendy, but I know he's a moron. Gordon is a moron. Gordon is a moron.
It was strangely touching, David. Finally, Graham, I'd like you to sing the words of the theme from Shaft to the tune of My Grandfather's Clock.
Oh, oh dear.
Welcome to the sound of mucus.
Do you want someone to clean your microphone for you, Graham?
Who's the black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks? Shaft, you're damn right. Who's the man that would risk his neck for his brother man? Shaft, can you dig it? Who's that cat won't cop out when there's danger about? Shaft, right on, you see. This cat, Shaft, is a bad mother. Shut your mouth, but I'm talking about Shaft. And dig it, he's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman. His name's John Shaft.
So the next game is called Word for Word. In Word for Word, each team will take turns to exchange a series of words while the opposing team should challenge if they spot a connection between any of these words. So if, for instance, in our time was followed by anybody, I think we'd all be surprised. Tim and David, you can start exchanging your unrelated words while Barry and Graham should challenge to take over play if they detect a connection. So off you go, Tim and David.
Sorcery.
Curtains.
Juniper.
Thoughtlessly.
Daily.
Android.
Yeah, Barry.
Daily Android, 60s rock group. I've got the album.
Could you hum one of their songs, Barry?
I have in my... They call me the Daily Android.
Okay, oh,
that's
you win.
What I'm...
Barry, you carry on this,
oh,
don't you?
Oh, right. Clint, what?
Hesitation.
No. Shall I carry on?
Please, Dave? Barry, yes. I'm sorry about Tim.
Not at... Aren't we all? Plint.
What?
Plint!
No, that was my word. What?
Repetition of what?
No, I can't allow that. That's not, it's not about repetition, it's about connections. It's right. Not the same as the game that we all love and enjoy so much. Not only here, but throughout the world. So I shan't allow that challenge. Barry, and yes, it's over to you still.
Gusset.
Jelly.
Abacus.
Brolly.
Bubonic.
David.
Well, with a lot of plague around, people are sneezing. A lot of brollies were carried to keep, literally, to keep the snot off them.
I accept that. Accept that connection.
Oh, thank you. Desk.
Mandolin.
Cat.
Graham. Yeah,
mandolin cat. That was Daily Android's big hit, wasn't it?
Yes. Second track on the album.
Yeah.
Well spotted. I was wondering if you were going to come in with that. Gong has meant that is the end of that particular round. Yes. We're going to revive a great old TV show now, Opportunity Knocks. running from 1956 for over 20 years. It was where young hopefuls wanting to get into show business got the chance to perform, and then the audience would vote for a weekly winner. That's such a great format. It is amazing the idea hasn't been stolen for today's TV by some lazy self-promoter, isn't it? But you'd be hard-pressed to match Huey Green and his famous clapometer. Oh, yes, they did rigorous health checks in those days. Well, with such a format going to waste, we couldn't resist bringing you our new round called Buckinghamshire's Got Talent. The teams have each been mentoring some talented locals who will perform for us tonight, and I shall choose who goes through to the next heat of the competition. So, David and Tim, could you introduce our first act now?
Yes, we'd like to start with the amazing Disastro, and he's a spoon thrower. Due to the conditions of his parole.
Anyway, Tina is going to be strapped to the rotating target. Okay, Tina?
Okay, I think we're ready.
Steady, Tina, don't move. Yeah. It's all right, Tina, love, don't worry. That is fantastic. Yeah.
Thing is, there wasn't jeopardy in it for me. It wasn't dangerous enough. I've eaten at Harvester, it's pretty much the same as that. So you now, Barry and Graham, would you please introduce the act you've been mentoring now?
Yeah, well, Jack, we're very excited. The act that we'll be mentoring tonight is Terry Wimple.
Yes.
Terry hails from the leafy Gatehouse area right here in the very heart of Aylesbury.
And this is an amazing act. Yeah. He will be reciting poetry while beating himself over the head with a tin tray.
He told me he's a little nervous as this is his first public performance, but he's doing it in remembrance of his granny, Vera Wimple, a well-known figure on the poetry circuit, who sadly passed away following a tin tray-related skull fracture at last year's Hay Festival.
The poem Terry's chosen for this performance is The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. Take it away, Terry.
Once upon a midnight dreary
Well, Terry, you know, here's the thing. I think that was the wrong choice of poem. And I know you've been on an incredible journey to get here tonight, and you're going on another journey home. Back to you, Tim and David. Can you introduce the next act now?
Yes, David. It's
this is Narcolepto, who is he's made plate spinning so much more contemporary.
It's made it an art, really. Isn't
he
it?
Has.
Yeah.
And it's all the more moving because he's struggling against, you know, a disability. I think you'll all be impressed and moved. Take it away, Narcolepto. Spinning. Look at those plates spinning.
There's speed
dozens
of, light,
of them
isn't it?
Spinning. Yeah. He's actually, he's got a gravy boat spinning, which is really ridiculous. Oh, dear, that's...
Oh, no. Still okay.
Still, some of them are still spinning. That can happen with Narcolepto.
Yeah.
Before he fell asleep, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Is it true he's driving home? Barry and Graham, who else have you got for us?
Well, this man's in a great tradition. He's a fire eater, the great Flambeau from Great Missenden.
Yes. And in fact, Barry, the Great Flambeau is Great Missenden's premier fire eater.
Tonight he will be eating a steak flambé in unleaded Courvoisier, blindfold while frying a pan of chips.
And, right, I can see he's up on the unicycle, so... Over to you, Flambeau.
I don't want to set the world on fire.
Flambeau, you're clearly a very dangerous and disturbed individual, and I have to think about whether you're the kind of person that I want to put in front of the Queen at the Royal Variety. Huh? And the answer is yes. Well, the teams are going to write some good old-fashioned letters now. The art of letter writing has more or less disappeared with everything done by email, most of which is spam anyway. Gone are the days when a clerk in a frock coat would use a gold-nib pen to write copper-plate invitations to try penis enlargement. Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by composing a letter, taking one word each at a time, from Hercule Poirot to Miss Marple, and Tim and David will come up with a reply. So, Barry and Graham, off you go.
Dear cher investor,
I am engaged
in
investigating
a
murder
on
the
Aylesbury
bypass.
Let me tell you what
happened
one
Tuesday
or
Wednesday
or
maybe
Thursday.
I
was
walking
by
the
canal
and
suddenly
I
saw
a
man
in
the
canal
who
seemed
very
dead.
Immediately,
I
went
in
to
the
shop
and
bought
a
pair
of
water wings.
Then
I
ran
to
the
telephone,
which
was
on
a
small
yet
attractive
plinth.
So
I
rang
the
police
and
told
them
about
the
body.
Here. They
cried
because
they
already
knew
of
the
body
in
the
canal
because
it
was
inflatable.
Well. Imagine
my
surprise
when
I
rushed
to
the
conclusion
that
this
was
the
end
of
my
letter
to
you.
So,
cheerio
from
Hercule
Poirot.
Dear
Poirot,
I
don't
think
that
you
quite
understand
the
intricacies
of
murder,
because
I
have
come
to
the
conclusion
that
many
men
are
dead.
Meanwhile,
the
nub
of
this
question
must
lie
in
the
inflatable
man
who
is
still
in
the
canal.
Who
is
he?
I
wonder.
Can
you
tell
me
about
his
history?
For
reasons
I
wish
to
keep
secret,
I
would
like
to
see
him
in
a
large
dinghy.
And
perhaps
I
would
give
him
one.
Please,
will
you
send
me
his
address?
Lots
of
love,
Jane.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time to squeeze in a round of Church of England songbook. And Church of England songs originated in the 16th century when the poor of the village would be invited out of the cold to sing as they warmed themselves by a roaring fire of screaming Catholics. Hymns are long overdue for an update, so teams, I'll ask you please to suggest some new song titles likely to make the Church of England more relevant to today's pop and rock generation. David, can you start, please?
Yes. Hit me, Bishop, one more time.
Barry.
I'm forever blowing Bibles.
Tim.
Psalm Enchanted Evening.
Graham.
Bishop Paluma a bot bamboom.
Smells like the Holy Spirit.
Karma Communion.
Everything's coming up Moses.
And the Chaz and Dave hit, Verger.
Bar, 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 Barabbas.
Pulpit on a string.
Super holy callous faction expels all the floaters.
Careless Wimple.
Leap up and down, wave your vicars in the air.
A boy named Sue has a complaint about the christening.
I did it thy way.
I left my heart with some Franciscans.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the rabbit of time is chased by the Labrador of fate and the David Blunkett of destiny is dragged screaming round Walthamstow dog track, I see it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Aylesbury, it's goodbye. Goodbye!
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Timber Taylor and David Mitchell were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.